Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
I kept turning on the TV saying, I have to watch this for the show. I have to watch this for the show. In that voice. No one was there. I was just saying that.
Because that's her to myself
voice. I have to watch this for the show. And now I don't remember what I watched. But I would watch a few minutes here and a few minutes there of something so I could have something worth saying about it. And now, if you'd asked me what it was I've seen, couldn't tell you, because my oldest is just power watching Elementary, which I'm not opposed to, but I wasn't watching
but
that
it's hard
for the show.
To...
By the way, you can power watch Elementary, too. It's excellent, fine treatment of Sherlock, but we'll do an all Sherlock show one day. It's good, the end. You dove into Daredevil.
Season 3.
Oh, yes. Before we even talk... Luke Cage is canceled? What? What's going on, Netflix?
Now, Iron Fist did not surprise me. I honestly figured they were probably on the fence about that as it was.
But wouldn't you cancel the Punisher over Luke Cage?
I actually liked Punisher more than I did Luke Cage.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I would have to watch it.
Honestly, like, John Berthel... He kind of nailed it. Like, okay. I have seen a whole bunch of bad Punishers, like the Thomas Jane movie, the 2008 one. I don't even remember the name of the actor in it. Or the Dolph Lundgren Punisher from, what was it, like 1990? Punisher has been a character that has not seen a lot of, I'm going to say, faithful translation or good... live-action translation ever?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to be harsh. Like, there's things that I can pull out of those movies that I'm like, oh, okay, well, they did that right. But on the whole, they're not good. People were not, like, wanting to revisit those years later. But this one, and again, a character that showed up initially in Daredevil Season 2.
Yes, and that was awesome there.
There's a
moment.
Does this
mean there's no defenders? Does this mean... What's going on?
Okay, here's what I think is happening. And I'm not, like, an insider. I don't know anybody on the inside.
Oh, you're going with the Disney theory.
Okay, who is in Heroes for Hire?
I don't know, Adam.
Okay, Luke Cage and Iron Fist are the heroes for hire.
Oh, okay.
If Disney, like... They probably have the right. Netflix probably has the rights to those two shows. They don't own the characters. They don't own like any interpretation of those characters. If you do a Luke Cage season 3, Netflix probably has dibs. If you do an Iron Fist season 3, Netflix get dibs. However, if you're doing Heroes for Hire, they probably did not purchase the rights to that particular comic book, but it does feature those two characters. Disney can migrate that over to that service. The Defenders was not so overwhelmingly, like, I guess, positive in its response that they know people may react better to a Heroes for Hire, which is what everybody said that they wanted anyways. Daredevil has a season 3. Jessica Jones is currently shooting her third season, and I believe Punisher is either finished or in the process. So, like...
There have been two seasons of Punisher? I thought there was just one.
There is a second season, I think, that they are either in the middle of or have finished. Okay. It's not debuted. However, because Netflix has put up the money to put those, you lose money if you have those in the can and you just choose not to show them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if there is not a Luke Cage season 3, you haven't started shooting it, you haven't started pre-production on it, you're not losing any money on that. And Disney, like I said, may want that Heroes for Hire property because you still get kind of the carryover from any of the Netflix people that want to see what is, in essence, Luke Cage and Iron Fist season 3, but it's a team-up of Heroes for Hire. Or Netflix may be willing to give up a couple of them. They may have, whenever they said, okay, we want Daredevil for our streaming service. And they're like, you can't. Daredevil it's critically positive. We've got the data for the views on it. We're not giving up Daredevil. And Disney's like, well, we can get into a litigious battle with you and we'll win because we're Disney. Or,
because Walt's Frozen Head said so.
We we want you to give us this property and this property, and we will allow a, let's say, a fourth and fifth season of Daredevil, at which point, after that, we want to take the character over, and you can have Jessica Jones for up through season four, and let's say a third season of Punisher. I'm thinking maybe because they know about, Netflix knows that Disney is going to be a legit contender to their throne. Disney has the money. Mm-hmm. They own their all of the rights to their films, or they will, which Netflix currently streams. 20th Century Fox, which they just purchased, they also own the back catalog of any of that, plus probably a lot of the Fox shows that have been on the air since, when did Fox come, what was it, 89 or 88?
You're telling me that Disney now owns Family Guy?
Essentially. They also own The Simpsons, because they purchased 20th Century Fox.
Never would have put those two together.
Yeah. But, like, I'm going to tell you right now, like, Disney isn't stupid. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, well, they're going to take it off and make it all family friendly. The reason why Disney used to put things through Touchstone is so they could have more mature content.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to damage the Walt Disney brand, because when I mm-hmm. say that, like, you're thinking of, like, Old Yeller. You're thinking of, like, Snow White.
Uh-huh.
That brand right there is imprinted in your mind. You don't want to, like, put out Pulp Fiction under the name Walt Disney.
That'd be hilarious.
You damage that brand. However, do you know who owned Miramax? Disney.
And
Miramax put out Pulp Fiction. They put out pretty much every one of Quentin Tarantino's films until Weinstein sold Miramax to Disney and what brought them over to the Weinstein Company.
I don't hear any Disney bigwigs commenting on Weinstein at all.
Probably intelligently.
Yeah.
They've cut their ties with that. Like, they own Miramax's back catalog. And I'm just saying, like, if you want proof positive that Disney's not afraid of mature content, look at what Miramax put out.
I just had a vision. It's a new show. It's a reality show. And it's called Cell Buddies. And it's Cosby and Weinstein.
Is it a reality show, or is this somebody doing,
no,
like...
No, it's a reality show. It's just the
okay.
two of them
All right.
talking.
It's just the camera that's set up
yeah.
in there.
That's it.
That's a podcast, like...
That's,
I guarantee it's interesting. I
yeah.
don't. I. It's not PC. And
no.
oh my goodness, like the what I'm sure the lawsuits you
yeah.
could get into for that. But I'm gonna tell you right now, it'd be worth a listen.
It sure would. The things I'm thinking of in my head are funny, not funny, and I'm just gonna stop talking right now.
It's probably
but,
best. Yeah.
Just want to throw that out there, because wouldn't they kind of go to the same types of prisons and hang out together?
Not unlike. Yeah, I would think.
I guess.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just gonna.
But I mean, like
along.
I said, like okay, Deadpool. Disney owns Deadpool now. If you have seen Deadpool 1 or 2, if you've ever picked up a Deadpool comic book, if you've had any experience with Deadpool whatsoever, Deadpool is not a Disney princess.
No,
though,
but he would totally be one in a minute.
Actually, Rocky Horror Picture Show is a 20th Century Fox. Film, is it not?
I think it is.
Okay, if it is, Frankenfurter is now a Disney princess.
That's hilarious.
That's beautiful. But, like I'm saying, like getting back to the genesis point of that, Disney is going to be a serious contender for Netflix.
When does it launch?
It's soon. I don't know the exact date, and my phone is dead.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, Netflix probably does not want to make an enemy of Disney, because they've had a pretty decent working relationship up until now.
Okay.
Like whenever Disney's like, oh, we want all our stuff.
So, Daredevil. I have chosen to not start it yet because I know once I start, I will be able to rationalize not doing everything that I need to do.
Because, not sleeping.
Because I know how good I hope it's going to be, because seasons 1 and 2 were... Talking about binge-worthy, Daredevil defines it for me.
There is a moment in the second season where the Punisher has got a sniper rifle, and he is picking off hand ninjas while Daredevil and Elektra are just punching and stabbing them by the tens and hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
That moment in that gave me the same feeling as it did when you've got that 360 shot of the Avengers in the Avenger movie. Whenever it comes down, you have the horns come in with that score, the bum, 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 and like Iron Man like stands there hovering, like you see Thor twirl his hammer. Like, I got goosebumps in the theater. I was like, I have been waiting for this moment since the first day I picked up a comic book. Like, it was just euphoric. I remember every time I experience that movie, that's the moment. Like, I'll tell people to shut up right before that's about to happen, because it still gives me chills. Like, it is such a perfect moment in the movie. That was it for me. Like, that was another such experience. On that rooftop moment when I'm just like, Daredevil, Elektra, and the Punisher are murdering hand ninjas. Like, I ran it back.
For those who don't know, these aren't ninjas that are shaped like hands. If
no,
you're
they're not.
Spy
they're not
kids.
Like the Hamburger Helper guy. It's, yeah. And as much as the Turtles fought the Foot Clan,
let's think of it like that. That'd be fun.
And as much as the Turtles fought the Foot Clan, this is what they were actually parroting by calling them the Foot Clan. The name of the clan that Daredevil and Elektra both have a lot of history with is called the Hand. Do you know who trained Daredevil? Stick. Do you know who trained the Turtles? Splinter. That's no coincidence right
really?
There.
Really?
Yes. Eastman and Laird, like, were huge fans of Daredevil. The retro mutagen ooze that causes the Turtles to mutate, supposedly...
Say that word again.
The retro mutagen ooze.
Mutagenous.
Retro mutagen ooze.
I see.
It's
OOZE.
Ooze, yes.
Okay.
Not mutagenous. That's not, no. I
prefer mutagenous.
Now, that's a great word. Like, I don't know what it, hashtag, what does that mean? But, like, but basically, the canister that struck Daredevil, that heightened his senses,
yeah,
is the canister that runs into the sewer that mutates them as well. Basically, like, the first issue of Ninja Turtles is a parody of Daredevil of sorts.
I did not know that.
Yeah. They're huge fans of Frank Miller's Daredevil, which, if you haven't read and you're one of the comic book faithful, like, anything that Frank Miller did with Daredevil, he was as much of an icon or had as much of an impact on that character as when Frank Miller touched Dark Knight Strikes Again. Like,
my mind's kind of exploding now.
It's fantastic. Like, if you haven't read that, Kevin Smith also had a very impressive run called Guardian Devil, which I would love to see them adapt. And as they own the rights to all of those characters now, there's no reason they shouldn't.
Would Silent Bob be Guardian Devil, or?
Smith wrote it, so he'd probably at least get a executive, executive producer credit. And then Brian Michael Bendis, for years, basically just wrote the definitive Daredevil. It's him, like, taking the Kingpin on. Like, honestly, like, that needs its own separate podcast. If you wanted to just go story arc by story arc, showing what he did with that character, fascinating. I own every volume of it. The art in it is just, it's impeccable. The writing, and a lot of that stuff you kind of see mirrored in a lot of the Daredevil show. They're pulling pretty heavily from Brian Michael Bendis's Daredevil and Frank Miller's Daredevil.
So, of the Daredevil that you watched from season 3, because of something like work and family responsibility,
sure,
you haven't
sure.
done all
right,
of it.
Right.
Ridiculous. Fabulous.
Daredevil is not a character, and the show isn't not afraid of it either, to do a little bit of a slow burn. Like, if you're wanting to see, like I said, that rooftop moment again, that doesn't happen in the first or second episode. But I'm going to remind you, go back and watch Daredevil. Like, the first season, Daredevil doesn't show up in costume till the final episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you, the build that they do, the way that they kind of, like, create the anticipation for this, that's what makes those moments all the better. Like, he's spending a lot of time getting healed. I'm going to remind you, the last time you saw Daredevil before this is when a building got dropped on him. And I don't mean that as a metaphor.
Oh, yeah.
In Defenders, Matt Murdock has a building dropped on him. Like, so he's a little beat up whenever this starts up.
Mm-hmm.
Bullseye, which is a character very famously a part of the comic book series. That's his Joker.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe the Kingpin. Either way, Kingpin and Bullseye are two of Daredevil's greatest villains. Like, Kingpin is kind of more of a Lex Luthor in that he's using all of his resources to defeat this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Bullseye is almost a physical match for Daredevil.
Okay.
So, like, when these two, like, decide they need to tangle, like, it's devastating. And in the comic books, I like I said, I haven't watched all of this season. Bullseye is responsible for the murder of somebody that Matt Murdock loves dearly.
Okay.
So I'm not going to say anything more to it. But like I said, Bullseye, much in the same way that the Joker killed the second Robin, Bullseye has that relationship with Matt Murdock. And Murdock and Bullseye do not get along.
So help me.
I don't know.
So help me. If it's my favorite lawyer, I'm going to be so ticked off.
I'm saying maybe Bullseye shows up in the final episode. Maybe he shows up halfway through.
I'm annoyed already.
I'm just putting it out there. Like, whenever Bullseye gets involved, and Kingpin is heavily involved in this season.
So both of them are in season three.
Yeah.
Now, I thought I read that What's-His-Face, who was so awesome in season two, is coming back. The bad guy from season two in Daredevil was... You know him. He was in Lost World. He was in
Lost World. Jeff Goldblum? What?
Yes. Jeff.
Devil.
No. What's his face? He was in. My phone's not here, so I can't tell you. I can see his face. He had a career as a svelte man, and now he is a man of size. And he was in. He was in the first Jurassic remake dealy with Chris Pratt, and he was
Vincent,
that guy.
You're talking about Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yes.
Kingpin, yes. Wilson Fisk.
Oh, he is Kingpin.
Yes, that's why I was like, who else are you talking?
I didn't know that
Vincent
was his name.
Vincent D'Onofrio is, yeah, he is Wilson Fisk. And like, I'm like...
I know his name was Kingpin in season two?
I think it refers to him as Kingpin, but Wilson Fisk is his name
yeah,
within
that's
the confines
what I knew him as.
Of the...
And he was fabulous.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. So he's back. That's all I'm going to throw in. And
like, I know how I want this season to go. Like, the way that Bendis and Miller wrote Daredevil was basically just to torment him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, put him through everything. Get him to the brink of death and not kill him. Wilson Fisk and Bullseye are both a part of this season. If they do this correctly, like, you just take Matt Murdock to the brink. Like, Wilson Fisk has the resources to destroy everything that he's ever worked for,
mm-hmm.
and Bullseye has the capability to kill everyone that he's ever loved. You want to put a character in, like, a dramatic position? You want to wring some tension out of that?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do with this season. And you have the characters that have the history with Daredevil to do that.
So, clearly, I can't just... One night go, oh, it's 9:30. I'll just watch this one.
Probably.
Yeah, no.
I'm saying, like, if you do this correctly, this is Daredevil's Dark Knight.
Okay.
I'm talking about, like, Heath Ledger, Christian mm-hmm. Bale, Krishna Olent. Like, that film really brought those characters home. They didn't necessarily adapt, like, a storyline proper, but, like, they understood the relationship between those characters.
Yes.
I'm looking at season one and two of Daredevil, and they understand Matt Murdock. They've brought in Bullseye, which tells me they've read, like, plenty of the comic books that these guys have been sourced out of. You have his two greatest foes. I'm not even saying they have to team up, but if they are taking on Matt Murdock at the same time...
It's harsh,
that's,
man.
That's a good season right
yeah.
there. And they're, like I said, they're slow burning it right now. Like, he's not quite as strong as he was. Again, building dropped on him. So let's say, like, you get this guy in, like, 70%, 80% of full. You let him come up against his two greatest foes. A physical match for him on his best day is fighting him when he's not at 100%, while at the same time, Wilson Fisk is pounding away at this guy's personal life.
And yet when you pull back just a little bit, you think, oh, Daredevil, he's going to go and do whatever. He needs an indestructible guy. Hey, Luke Cage, why don't you show up and meet me here and help me out, buddy? But none of that stuff ever actually happens.
I guess it's the same reason why in Iron Man 3, he wasn't just like, you know how we could solve this? Yeah, Thor. Yeah, hey, can you stop by it's by the pier. It's that abandoned warehouse.
Doing fake phone hand,
I was talking to Thor on my, just because they don't get to see the full performance does not mean that I don't give it.
I have not been able to stop watching Thor Ragnarok, and I can't, every time I hear 'twas indeed hilarious, I start it from the beginning again.
Doth mother know you weareth her drapes?
I know that this is some sort of mental illness on my part, but I don't want to go
into it in too great of a detail because we've done it before, but Ragnarok is, it's just a lot of fun.
It is.
And like Daredevil is a good watch. It's not like a fun watch.
No.
Because like, basically you're just seeing a man tormented to almost the brink of death. That's when Daredevil, like, truth be told, those are his best stories.
Mm-hmm.
Is when, like, you take things that from him that he loves, you kill people that mean something to him, you destroy his personal life, you destroy his firm, you take everything that means anything away. Those are the best Daredevil stories.
Not a feel-good story.
He is, like, Superman is a symbol of hope. Like, people are drawn to him because of what he stands for. Daredevil stories are at their best when you torture Matt Murdock. If I've got a guess, and I say hope, and I mean that in a weird way, that's where I want this season to go. Because I love this show. It is easily my favorite of the Marvel TV shows.
There are 10, 12 episodes?
It's 10.
Okay.
I think it's 10. But previous seasons have had about 13.
Remember back in the day when a TV season had 22?
Or if you want to go back to like Bewitched or Andy Griffin, they had like 32 a season.
That's how it could you imagine 32? You wouldn't be able to work at all.
We don't have that at three seasons.
I know.
But I mean, that's like when you're talking about how like Gunsmoke was on for 25 years, like when The Simpsons finally got to their 25th season and they're like, well, why are they so behind on episodes? It's because they're doing like 18 a season. Mm-hmm. Gunsmoke, I don't even know what they were probably doing 35 a season.
Mm-hmm. That is extraordinary. Just to stay, we'll briefly touch on some more superheroes. Have you, and I'm going to assume you have, but have you watched Gotham since the beginning?
I have touched on it a little. Like, mm-hmm. I've kept read up on it, and I actually have the seasons kind of backlogged. But again, I can't do those in a quick burst because they're like full-on seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I like getting through Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been difficult, not because the show is not entertaining, but like I can't burn 10 episodes, 8 episodes. It's like a 22, 24 episode ordeal. So I've got to put away a lot of time or, you know, kind of maximize it or kind of ameliorate it over a large span of time to make mm-hmm. sure I get all that in.
I like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I tend to kind of what I say, watch it and fast forward. I don't always pay attention, but I know what's happening. And sometimes I'll like sit and watch a few episodes and like focus on it, but I kind of just know here's where they're on the planet, here's where they're not on the planet, here's where they're in the Matrix.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm watching it like with bated breath.
Well, I desperately, desperately want you to watch Supernatural, but
I'm just saying. Remember the because that what did we say? It's at 14 now.
Season 14 is current.
I'm just saying like
I know. However, I'm going to put right above Supernatural, you need to watch Gotham because It is one of the few TV shows, and I can't tell you what network it's on because I watch it on Hulu.
Fox.
Okay.
It's Fox.
It's one of the few TV shows that's not a Netflix, Hulu original, or Amazon that each episode is very similar to a little movie, production value-wise.
The thing that has fascinated me for what kind of, what Gotham essentially be, like, started out the way it sounded whenever they were like, you know, coming this season. It sounded like it was going to be a procedural show starring Jim Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I mean, that enticed me, but like, I was like, well, but you're also, I'm not getting the Jim Gordon from like the Christopher Nolan movies. Like,
mm-hmm.
I, you know, if you've got that actor, yeah. Oh, I'm in. Like, and it really felt like I watched the first couple episodes that's what it was. Procedural crime show on Gotham. It has almost kind of become what I've been kind of gleaned from previews and other things that I've read about it. It's basically Rogues Gallery, the show. Like, they have really, really kind of leaned into that and mm-hmm. let the villains take over the show. And like,
very much so.
If you're going to let somebody do that, besides like, the only other Rogues Gallery I can think of like that is Spider-Man's. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, you've got Mysterio, you've got the Green Goblin, you've got Dr. Octopus, you've got the Vulture. I mean, you can just sit there and for like minutes discuss, or just, I mean, just name off. You can discuss those characters for hours. Batman is probably the only other person, and I'd say probably has the best villains. And this is what has kind of given them so much life in television, comic books, video games, movies. Because not only do they have these fascinating characters at the center of all this, but like with Batman, you've got the Joker, you've got the Penguin, you've got the Riddler, you've got Catwoman, you've got Mr. Freeze. Like, even when you get down to like your D-listers,
mm-hmm.
some of these characters are even fascinating.
So what I really like about this show, I mean, I know the Batman story. I don't know it in detail as you do, but I have...
There's not a whole lot to do. Take some time. People have spent that amount of time getting doctorates.
Yeah, whatever. I have a more than passing knowledge of Batman, and I found this to be fascinating because it's not just from the point of view of not yet Commissioner Gordon, but when you first meet him, Batman isn't Batman. Was he 12, maybe?
Well, I don't know exactly where this story starts. Bruce Wayne was very young
yes.
whenever it happened in all the iterations. Like, I think this one was probably close to around like 10, 11, 12.
And so the guy that they cast, no, I don't know his name. The guy that they cast to be Bruce Wayne has grown into just what you want him to grow into. I mean, he was clearly a beautiful child. He was probably a child model. I don't know. But much like one of the guys from Stranger Things, the one with the cheekbones, that guy. He's just, he has great presence and bearing. And now he's 17-ish Bruce Wayne.
So he's essentially young John Hamm.
Yes.
Is what you're saying. Yeah.
He is young John Hamm.
Which, if we're going to touch on that, like Ben Affleck, who is currently Batman in the films. I love Affleck's Batman. I don't think he has been in exceptional movies, but Ben Affleck is a great Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you may not like Justice League as a whole, but his Batman's fantastic. And the thing is, he has never got to have his own starring. He has been a side character in someone else's movie, Batman versus Superman.
No longer Batman.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, apparently they're done with Affleck as Batman, which is a mistake. But John Hamm is pushing hard,
really
hard, to get the role.
Okay, well, he needs to have.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know what his Batman like looks or sounds like.
I don't care.
But that man is flipping Bruce Wayne in an insane way. Like,
yes.
I'd say put a suit on that man and you'll see what I'm talking. But I think he's always in a suit. Even when you see him in like a t-shirt and athletic pants,
there's a suit.
He probably has a suit on underneath it. John Hamm needs to be Batman in a bad way.
Very much so.
Like, he wants it. Like, and go back and watch any season of Mad Men.
I didn't even
tell
know
me
I
that he can't play
now.
Tortured. Oh. I'm saying John Hamm is the perfect Bruce Wayne.
Well, they have whoever this kid is. You know, I'll look him up, and he's like, he's actually 35, but looks 17. Whatever.
Which happens a lot.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Cast of Grease.
The casting is great on this. And you get to see not just, for instance, Penguin. You get to see how Penguin became Penguin, which I only knew was, you know.
Yeah, Mr. Joker.
I didn't have the Penguin backstory. It's just there's Penguin, and I can name all the bad guys. There's Riddler, this and that. And it may not be exactly how you recall some of these characters are, but it's so well done. And it's like, well, that explains it all. Yeah, Penguin, obviously, a little wacky. And who plays his dad for 3 or 4 episodes?
It was
Paul Rubens.
Yeah, yeah. I saw
and
when that casting
fantastic.
Came, that honestly, that's what convinced me that I needed to go back to the show.
Yeah, it is certainly worth your time. And it's well produced. It's well acted. Yeah, there's some amusing stuff in it. It's I'm not going to say it's a comedy in any way, but there is some humor.
It's a dark, I think you get away
it
with saying
entertaining.
It's a dark comedy. Yeah.
It's entertaining. It's going to be more drama than comedy. It's going to be police stuff as well, but it just all really works well together, and it deserves some time. Right now, I did not watch any of it last year because I wanted to watch it all at once, which is what I'm doing now. And so I am more than halfway through season 4. I'm going to assume season 5 has already started. And now Poison Ivy was in season 4, but she's really, she's kind of had it with the people she was hanging with.
If your only introduction to Poison Ivy was the terrible 1997's Batman and Robin, delete that from your mind. The character in the comic book, like Jeff Loeb has used this character to great effect. Really a fascinating like character that when used properly is a good villain.
Right.
When misused, comes out like the neon-nippled spectacular that was Batman and Robin.
Yes. This Poison Ivy and how they're all connected. See, I don't know, because I didn't read the comic books, I don't know if the connections I'm seeing between Poison Ivy and Catwoman and this and that, I don't know if they were that connected through the books, but the way they are written through Gotham makes sense, and it's interesting and beautifully cast.
Are you privy to what's going on with Suicide Squad 2 right now?
They're making a second one?
And I say this, and I know that the first one is definitely a flawed film.
Yes.
What I tell you next may interest you. You have James Gunn famously being fired from Guardians of the Galaxy Part 3, who wrote and directed those movies, just gangbusters. Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2, I would argue, are better than Thor Ragnarok, and you and I have got all of the love for that movie.
I actually, in my Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one, and Ragnarok, to me, are equal, and they both give me the same amount of pleasure.
And James Gunn has a huge part to play in the Guardians' success.
Yeah.
Guess who Warner Brothers is signed to write and is leaning hard to direct Suicide Squad Part 2?
Take my money.
I say this and I think I justify it because essentially Suicide Squad is the Bat-villain movie.
Mm-hmm.
Those are a bunch of, like not all of them, but most of your auxiliary characters there are Batman characters. You've got maybe a Flash villain in there or like one that's been gleaned from this part. Mostly Batman characters in there. Guess who Gunn is trying to convince Warner Brothers to let them hire as Bane?
Mm-hmm.
Dave Bautista. Who famously played Drax the Destroyer.
Nice.
Who has pretty much said he wants nothing to do with Guardians of the Galaxy 3 if James Gunn is not a part of it. I think I know what he's going to be doing.
Yeah, I do too.
Like I said, none of this is set in stone. Like right now, Warner Brothers has hired him to direct. If they don't like the script, like that can all fall apart. But I'm saying James Gunn's Suicide Squad 2 with Dave Bautista as Bane?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in.
Yeah, I am
like,
too.
Like, I'm all kinds of in. Like, you're probably going to have Will Smith's Deadshot back in there. I'm just saying, like, Suicide Squad's problems, like, are not unfixable.
Correct.
And I'm saying, like, you keep Will Smith, you got a Dave Bautista, you let James Gunn cherry pick the bat villains that mm-hmm. he wants. I know that the DC, like, EU has not always put them out of the park. But Suicide Squad, as run by James Gunn, putting the kind of the same spin on it that he did the Guardians movies, like, that's a Suicide Squad that I want to see.
Yeah, me
and
too.
Batman has enough villains, which Gotham has famously used. I'm mm-hmm. saying, you let him dig into that toy box, that's a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
That is a multi-million, billion-dollar
oh, for sure.
franchise if you let him sink his teeth in proper.
Hopefully they will. So, but binging wise.
Sorry.
Now you got me all excited about that movie. Binging wise, Gotham is worth your time, and you don't have to know anything at all about Batman because I suspect a lot of the approaches they're taking are not canon to the comic books.
Which honestly, and it's the stance I try to take on any of this, entertain me.
Yes, and it does.
If you've done a Star Trek movie and you violate like episode like 11 out of season 3, if you entertain me, it's all made up anyways.
So,
whatever.
James Gordon in all the other movies, he marries Barbara, yes?
Barbara is his daughter.
No, then I'm thinking of something else.
Barbara Gordon is the one that ends up becoming Batgirl.
Okay. Maybe it's just because of the lack of caffeine. I can't remember her name, but I thought maybe...
I believe it is Sarah
no.
off the top of my head.
Okay, well then they've changed it. Anyway, she may very well become Batgirl, I don't know, but he starts out with who I think is going to be, you know, Mrs. Commissioner Gordon, and she turns out to be crazy! Like, for real?
Like, for reals.
And She's an extraordinary villain. Don't know if she existed as a villain in the others, but she's... And that was such a surprise.
If you will look at the talent over just across the board, going back to the 60s Batman, that you can pull in for these Bat villains. I'm just saying, like, Burgess Meredith, like, mm-hmm. Cesar Romero, Frank Gorshin, Jack Nicholson, Danny DeVito, Michelle Pfeiffer, Tom Hardy... Liam Neeson. I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
If you put these in the hands of the correct people, they are juicy, juicy roles. And there is nothing more fun to play than a villain.
Exactly.
Like, hero, like, I love Batman and I love Superman. I have tattoos of them on my body.
But not his face.
No, not yet. Chris will probably put a stop to that. There's so much fun. Like, and as an actor, like, I've played, like, your straight-laced hero, and I've gotten to play, like, the bad guy. And there's nothing like playing, like, especially when they don't, when they're saying don't restrain yourself. Like, go back and watch Nicholson and Tim Burton's Batman. If you want to argue that that's not the canonical, like, Joker, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Jack Nicholson is electric in that.
Yeah,
there is as much a place for Jack Nicholson's Joker and Heath Ledger's Joker. It, like, you don't have to be a fan of one of them. If you don't like Jared Leto's Joker, I don't care. I don't know anybody that's told me they did.
He was fine.
But
Harley Quinn outshined him.
But I'm saying, like, when you were talking about being in, like, the same pantheon that, like, Mark Hamill, his animated Joker.
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow.
It's
just saying,
amazing.
You cannot get away with being...
The Joker on Gotham
okay.
is insane.
But I'm saying, like, Leto, you can't be okay in the role. Heath Ledger, like, won an Oscar for playing a comic book character.
Yeah.
Like, go back to like the 1960s. Tell somebody someone's going to get an Oscar for playing a comic book character, a Batman yeah. comic book character, and watch them laugh in your face.
Pow! No way.
Zap! Boom! I'm just saying, like, you put these roles in the right hands, and, like, you have no limit to where you can go. And that's what Gotham is now. It's the
yes.
villain show.
And it's... I just really can't say enough that's good about it. I don't really find any flaws in it. And it's a great starting off point if you've gone, oh, I don't think I like Batman stuff. Well, you might like this because it's different enough. And what's so cool to me is he's just now in season 4 becoming Batman. And it was for a while, he was much like Daredevil. He just kind of had a coat on and he pulled a hat down. Like, I think I'm supposed to fight crime.
I should do that. Or Tom Welling, when he was doing Smallville, when he was playing young Superman for 10 years. Like, the mm-hmm. point that I'm just like, God, it's about 5 years into it. Wasn't he not Superboy no more? Like, what? Like, seriously, by the time Tom Welling left that role, like, he had already been man for 3 years. Like, but they took a similar approach to it. Again, after... course of 10 years, like, you can't argue that he's young Superman anymore.
Now, you will find that this Gotham physically looks dark, much like Daredevil is physically a dark looking
Gotham
thing.
Gotham is a dark, seedy
yes,
place,
and that is exactly what they've given you. And
like, you want pleasant and like apple pie, go to Smallville, okay? Or mm-hmm. maybe Metropolis. Go to Metropolis or go to Central City. Go to any other place.
Go to Metrocity.
I'm saying, like, you want happy and like go lucky. Like, watch The Flash. Okay?
Flash,
like,
is good.
Flash is a lot of fun. But there's room for Arrow and mm-hmm. all of that, which is basic. Here's what I think happened there. The producers went to Warner Brothers and said, we want to do a Batman TV show. And they're like, no. However, you can have Green Arrow. Green Arrow in the comic books is this very liberal-leaning, like, jokey guy. Mm-hmm. If you've ever seen an episode of Arrow...
He is not jokey.
Ollie Queen is not a jokey guy in that. Like, he is driven. One might say very Batman-esque. I really think they were just like, whatever, we're doing our Batman show. His name's just going to be Green Arrow. I really think that's what Greg Berlanti ended up doing with that show. He's like, fine, whatever. Really, he's rich. He's got a lot of resources. And he's got a mansion. Fine.
Sounds like Batman.
Fine. We'll call him Green Arrow if you want us to, but we're making a Batman TV show.
Now, I will throw this out there. We will one day do a podcast where I don't mention comic books.
It'll probably be a day I'm sick.
Yes.
And we have anyone else but me fill in.
Yes. But I never read comic books. They weren't around. They existed. They just weren't in my house. I never crossed my mind to read a comic book.
Comic books were still 20 years from being created.
But... binge-worthy, watching, I'm all about Gotham, and it's an excellent show.
It is a difficult world that we live in now to escape comic book-influenced or themed things.
True.
Like, okay, Road to Perdition, the Tom Hanks movie came
yes.
out, is based on a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? The Aragorn starred in it. History of Violence? I cannot think of his name. Viggo Mortensen,
yes.
based on a comic book. I'm just saying, like, what was it? It's the movie with Professor X, Angelina Jolie, and Morgan Freeman in it. Wanted.
Salt. Oh.
Very close to Wanted, based on a comic
book. Is Salt based on a comic book?
No. I think it was just... I'm not going to go off into that tangent. Wanted, based on a comic. Well, I'm just saying, like, you really can't escape. With the proliferation of Marvel film, mm-hmm. them in television, like, it's just, it's everywhere. And it's very successful. Like, it's a billion-dollar industry right now. Just because, like, you have never touched a comic book, most of these are entry-level stuff, or mm-hmm. explain it to you in a way that, like, if you don't have 20 years of, like, graphic novel, like, history pumped into your brain... it doesn't matter.
Right.
Like any of the CW shows, you can pick those up without having touched a four-color funny book ever.
Well, these are some binge-worthy things that are, I think, companion pieces. Daredevil on Netflix, currently 4 seasons of Gotham on Hulu. They're both...
Or Fox, if you're watching it first run.
They're both dark and...
Yeah, they're not...
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of sunshine.
Not in either one of them. They've got... I only have good to say about both of them. They have a lot going for them. And now, what do you want to watch with your kids? You can watch Gotham with your kids, like, you know, 10 and up. Not so much the Daredevil.
Daredevil, I mean, honestly, like, I would say you're closer to, like, 16 or 18.
Yeah.
Like, some mature stuff goes on there, like, just period. Like, it's not for a young audience. Like, when I was thinking about letting my son watch it, because, I mean, we were only a couple years removed from the Avengers, and he's dyed in the wool with this stuff, mm-hmm. too, or one of my sons. When Daredevil came out, like, I had just happened to catch the first 3 episodes. Then I watched Daredevil, like, give a brutal beatdown to somebody, and I was like, oh, this is not film Avengers. Like, I was thinking we were talking about Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor.
No.
This... Maybe not a hard M rating, but like stuff goes on in it. Like there's drug dealers, like there's murders. Like if there's a seedy underbelly to the Marvel Universe, that's where Daredevil lives.
And Gotham, also seedy underbelly, but they're on the top of the seedy underbelly heap.
If you stand there too long, you'll sink into it.
Yes.
But yeah.
But you can see once in a while they show the ocean. In season 4, they spend a few days in Italy, California. But you know, you get to see a little bit of shiny, happy people briefly before more beatdowns. But anyway, binge-worthy stuff for sure. And if you've never binged anything, well,
you're the problem. These are great places to start.
You're the problem in today's world. So thank you so much for listening. Happy binging. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.